There are so many decisions to be made in this life. Amen?
Amen.
Lots of decisions. Should I have chicken or roast beef this afternoon? I hate to tell you, but that decision's already been made. It's either in the crock pot or it's not. Amen? Where will I live? What will I do for a career? Where will I go to college, or will I go to college? Will I get married? If so, who will I marry? Will I move? Will I be alone? Will we get to enjoy the golden years together? What's the will of God for my life? Lots of decisions. Lots of questions. May I say that our decisions are products of our character. Character. I've heard many definitions for character, but I think probably the best maxim is character is what you do when it's just you and God. When you're all by yourself. When you have no overseer. I sent my boys last night after we went out, and Mom was here with the baby late, and so we said we'll do boys' night out, and we went to Bob Evans, and amen, godly place, amen. And I ate, and they ate, and fought, and I ate, and they fought, and I ate their food while they fought, amen. Hey, tough luck, amen. We don't believe in luck, but tough luck. And then we went home, and I said, now, boys, Mom's been at the church a lot this week, and we're going to do some cleaning up. How many think it's good that young children learn to clean up? Amen. I do too. And so I said, now, boys, I want you to go into the living room and clean that up, put things in the bins, put things away. And I said, and I'm not going to watch over you, but I will be back in about 20 minutes. And I was so thrilled, Brother Leonard, when my boys called me and said, Daddy, we're all done cleaning the living room. Now, that is fraught with meaning when they say we're all done. How many of you know exactly what I'm talking about? All God's people said,
amen.
I checked under the couch. You know how that goes. You got to look, amen. But sure enough, it was pretty good. I was proud of them. And I said, good. Now it's time to clean your room. I'm so mean, amen. Hey, I took them out for dinner. At least they could do is work a little, amen. And I took them upstairs, and we started cleaning. You know, you say, why do you do that, Pastor? Because I want those boys to have character. I want them to have character. Because most of their life, they're not going to have somebody that's sitting over them watching every move they make. But if they develop character, it'll show in the decisions that they make. Nothing is a more clear definition of our character than the decisions we make. By the way, that's a very convicting statement. Nothing is a more clear definition of our character than the decisions that we make. It's so important that we develop our character. By the way, from reading and obeying the principles of this book. What did Jesus say when he gave the parable of the wise man and the foolish man? The wise man was wise because he built his house upon the rock. And he compared that to hearing the word of God and doing it. And then he said, but the foolish man is that one that hears the word of God and says, no. By the way, we've all done it.
Amen.
Amen. The context of our message today, again, we see the great hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And really from verses 17 through 35 that we read, we find the victors of faith. Some tremendous stories in the Bible, true stories, true accounts. We find Abraham and the amazing faith that he had to obey God when he told him to offer Isaac. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, it's so important when you read this. There's so many skeptics that point to that and say, how could anybody do that? I'll tell you exactly how. Because God told him that he was, through Isaac, going to multiply his seed as the sands of the sea. And Abraham believed God. And so, as he didn't understand why God said that he wanted him to sacrifice Isaac. It was never God's intention to sacrifice Isaac, but rather to test Abraham's faith. Do you really believe me? Many of us have been in much lesser situations of, do you really believe me? When the month was too much for the money, and God said, tithe. And it could be followed with a comma, if you really believe me. Amen? Oh, remember the days being in Bible college, not having a job. Oh, just thank God for me, it was just a month. The first month I was in Bible college, I didn't have a job. And then God was so gracious to us for the 4 years that followed. I had a job for those 4 years. But that first month, and we needed a place to live. And there was a home a half mile from campus and a half mile from the church, 844 Fairfax, Bloomfield, Michigan, 48341. As you could tell, I ended up moving in there. And we needed $450 to pay rent, and we didn't have it. They didn't have a job. And we prayed and we said, God, you sent us here. Please provide. That week in the mail, $1,200 came in the mail. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, what's the key? Believe in God. Believe in God. Abraham believed God. Isaac believed God. Jacob believed God. Moses' parents, boy, they believed God, didn't they, Brother Lawley? Imagine having that little baby. And I hate to tell you this, if you haven't had one in a while, they still cry. Lots. My wife brought my little girl into me the other day and I put her on and she just looked at me and screamed. I said, I know I'm ugly, but please, amen. I mean, she screamed. And I said, don't yell at your father. Listen, in Egypt, you know what they had to do? They had to hide those babies. They had to hide those male babies. But I love what it says there. It says, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Why? Because they believed God. Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. By the way, I wonder probably 99% of the Christians today would have said, I'll be Pharaoh's son. Pretty nice there in Egypt. Pretty nice there in the palace. Moses said, no. I'd rather be with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He kept the Passover. And he forsook Egypt. Great miracles at the Red Sea. You keep going there. You find that the walls of Jericho came tumbling down by faith. Rahab was saved by faith. And it goes on to Gideon and to Barak. Amen. I heard that amen back there, Brother Barak. Amen. And Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel. And these unnamed. It talks about those that quench the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. I happen to think that's the Apostle Paul. Amen. Waxed valiant in flight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised. The victors of faith. But then you know what we see? We see the others of faith, don't we? For purposes and reasons known only to God, sometimes He allows His people to suffer at the hands of the evil of this world. Look what it says there in verse 35. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. If you don't have Fox's Book of Martyrs or The Trail of Blood, you should have them both. You should have them both to learn where our faith finds its roots. And people that said, no, we're not going to baptize babies. No, we believe salvation is only by grace, not by works. Others were tortured. And it goes on. It lists. It says, verse 37, they were stoned. Apostle Paul was stoned to death. Raised again at Lystra. Went right back into Lystra and started preaching. And it says they were sawn asunder. History tells us that the great prophet Isaiah, who wrote all the millennial prophecies, who wrote, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child," who wrote, "And they shall call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace," who wrote, "All we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all," was sawn asunder, put in a hollow log, and sawn in two. The others of faith, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. I love that verse 38. It says, "Of whom the world was not worthy." They weren't even worthy. These all, verse 39, having obtained a good report through faith. The victors of faith, the others of faith. How about verse number 1 of chapter 12? The witnesses of faith. Wherefore, whenever you see the word wherefore or therefore, it means go back and read what you've just read. He said, because of all these great accomplishments of faith, because of all these who said no and would not deny the faith, wherefore, in view of that, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Oh, we could preach on the witnesses all day. Who are the witnesses? I personally believe it's that hall of faith we just read about. All these people cheering us on. I believe our loved ones that have gone on before us, they're witnesses. They're cheering us on. The angels in heaven. The Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Father. All witnesses. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We see in verses 1 and 2, the race of faith. Let us lay aside every weight. Why? Because we're in a race. And the sin which does so easily beset us. Let's get rid of that too. Why? Because we're in a race. And let us run with patience. Anybody here like patience? Anybody here just a naturally patient person? I want to meet you afterwards. Why? Because tribulation worketh patience. And if you're just asking for trouble in your life, you've got problems. Amen? No, but he says, let us run with patience. Why? Because trouble does come, but we need to keep running. We need to keep running. Amen, amen, amen. And then we have the victors of faith, the others of faith, the witnesses of faith, the race of faith. And in verse 2, we have the faith. The faith. Who's the faith? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and Omega. The key verse I want us to look at today is found in verse 3. That was introduction. I promise you the message won't be long. It says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." When we think about our lives, we are the sum total of the decisions that we make. It's a hard phrase to accept, but it's true. Where you are today is because you've made decisions to be here. The fact that I'm in Jackson, Michigan, I believe in the will of God. There was one day a decision had to be made when we were in New Hartford, Connecticut, to come to Jackson, Michigan. If you work at an employer, you made a decision. You're here in church today because you decided I'm going to come to church. We're the sum total of our decisions. And I pose a very rhetorical question. How many of you today would like to make better decisions than all God's people said? Amen. I would. Amen. You know what the key to making the proper decisions are? Consider Him. consider him. Look at verse 3 again. It says, for consider him. You want to be a better Christian? Consider him. You want to be a better husband? Consider him. You want to be more faithful to the work and will of God? Consider him. Let me give you 7 points today in your life to consider him in. Number one, consider him in his love. Consider him in his love. The Bible says in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Consider him in his love. I think about his love for the Father. Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. Why? Because he loved him. As the Father hath loved me, Jesus said, so love I you. Jesus did all those things. You say, well, he was God. Yes, he was, but I'll tell you, he had a human body as well. And when he wanted to perhaps please himself, he said, no, I love the Father more than I love me. He loved the Father. Consider him in his love for the Father. Consider him in his love toward the followers. A new commandment write I unto you, he said in John 13:34-35, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Consider him. He loved the Father. He loved the followers. You know what? He loved the fainting, didn't he? The Bible says, when he saw the multitudes scattered as sheep without a shepherd, Matthew 9:36, the Bible says, he had compassion towards them. You know what compassion is? Love in action. It's not just the word love. By the way, the word's important. I love you. It's important to say that. Amen. It's important to say that. But Jesus, he had love towards the Father. He had love towards the follower. He had love towards the faint. Can I ask you and I today to consider him in our love? Do we love the Father enough to obey him? Come on now. I know obedience is about as popular as repentance, but it's still right. Do we love him enough to obey the Father? How about this? Not only toward the Father, how's our love toward the followers? Do you have aught against your brother or sister? You're not supposed to. Amen. Amen. Supposed to get that right. Forgive, and it shall be forgiven you. You say, but Pastor, what if they won't forgive me? That's not your business. Amen. That's not your business to sit there and tap your foot and wait for them to forgive you. You forgive them and move on with your Christian life. Because if you won't forgive, I'll tell you what, heaven is closed to your prayer life. We talked about that in our series on sense and nonsense about prayer. Consider him in your love toward the Father, toward the followers, toward the fainting. I ask a probing question this morning. We've got Extra Mile Saturday coming up here August 9th, and I'd love to see a great crowd out there to witness to people. It's the last day of the fair. We could take literally boxes of tracts and sit down on the street corner and pass out tracts. When is the last time that you gave the gospel to a complete stranger? It's a probing question, isn't it, folks? Listen, just pulling out a gospel track and saying, friend, can I give you some good news today? Ladies and gentlemen, people are dying every day. You don't believe it? Look at the obituaries. I heard of the older man. He got the paper every morning and he'd open it right to the obituaries. And he looked at it. Finally, somebody said, why do you read the obituaries every day? He said, I want to see if my name's in there. He said, otherwise I don't have to live the rest of the day. Amen. People are dying every day, folks. They need the gospel. And we have it. Consider him. Did he love the fainting? Yes, he did. Did he love publicans and sinners? Yes, he did. He died for them. Yeah. Amen. I'm glad the Bible says Christ died for the ungodly. I'm glad because I was one of them. I still am, by the way. Just a sinner saved by grace. Amen. Consider him in his love. Consider him not only in his love, consider him in his prayer life. Number two, Luke 18:1, and he spake this parable unto him that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Can I tell you that I didn't want to preach this point very much because it's convicting to me. Amen. Men ought always to pray. You know, Jesus prayed in secret. Luke 5:16. Luke chapter 9:18 said he went apart to pray. He prayed in secret. He prayed by himself. Not only did he pray in secret, Mark 1:35 says, and rising up a great while before it is day, he went into a solitary place and prayed. It's convicting, isn't it? Amen. Listen, I know you. We need sleep. We need sleep. I've told it before, and I won't stay. I remember Bible college, literally just, you know, toothpicks in the eyes. So many times sitting there in class. There was one particular class Miss Malone used to teach. It was called Intro to Ed. And don't tell her she's in heaven. She knows. We used to call it Intro to Bed. It was so boring, amen. And she used to say, now you young preacher boys, you take notes in this class so you'll stay awake, amen. She knew. I used to sit behind this guy with this giant head and just, now I know. The last week I was in Bible college, somebody came and preached on proper rest in the Scriptures. And I almost strangled him. I said, where were you 4 years ago when I really needed rest, amen. I know we need rest. The Bible says Jesus got up a great while before day to pray. You know what else he prayed in secret? He prayed early. Jesus prayed in the presence of others. Luke 11:1. He was praying, and as he was praying, they came and asked him, Master, teach us to pray. Some people think, well, you can only pray in private. That's not true. When Jesus broke the bread and the loaves, there was 5,000 men there and a whole bunch of other people too. And he gave thanks and prayed. To all these whereas and what ifs that we mentioned earlier, there's prayer. Where will I live? Pray. Where will I ever get married? Pray. What kind of job will I work? Pray. What's the will of God? Hey, folks, consider him in his prayer life. It's convicting, isn't it? I know it was for me when I wrote these words down in ink. Consider him in his prayer life. Oh, folks, that we would pray. Pray. Consider him in his humility. Jesus didn't walk around with a chip on his shoulder. He didn't walk around and say, well, I'm the Son of God. Farthest thing from it, ladies and gentlemen. He said, take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Jesus Christ was humble. He had a humble birth, did he not? The King of Kings was born in a stable with farm animals. He was humble in his incarnation. The Bible says he humbled himself. He took on flesh when he didn't have to. Let's never forget that, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus didn't have to take on flesh. But he did. He humbled himself. You know what else he was? He was humble in his service. Just before he got ready to go to the cross, he grabbed the basin and put the towel over his shoulder and went to his disciples and began to wash their feet. Folks, that's a very humbling thing. And what did he say? He said, I've given you an example. The preachers that have made an impact in my life are preachers that bent down and picked up trash. The kind of preacher I want to be. Oh, I'm not skilled. I'm not. Some of you that are skilled, you smile right now. You know I'm not skilled. I can't put boards together and cut things and all that. But I can pick up trash. I can clean a toilet for Jesus. The preacher that won't do that has a pride problem. I went up to Grace Baptist College and I looked out at those young men. I said, young men, we don't hire people that don't do windows at Loomis Park Baptist Church. Now, the truth is, we don't ask our associates to do windows often, but we want to know they'll do them.
Yeah.
Why? Humility. Jesus Christ was humble. Consider Him in His humility. Is there something I won't do for Jesus? No, we ought to be humble. We ought to do anything for Jesus.
Amen.
Sweep a bus? Absolutely. Clean a window? Absolutely. Pick up a piece of trash? Absolutely. Count pennies for vacation Bible school? Absolutely. Fill out flyers? Pass them out? Absolutely. Teach a Sunday school class? Absolutely. Sing in the choir? Absolutely. Usher? Absolutely. Humble. Consider Him in His humility. Consider Him, fourthly, love, prayer, life, humility. Consider Him in His surrender and obedience. After He had taken the sins of the world upon Him, and He began to sweat great drops of blood, He said, Father, if Thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Jesus Christ was surrendered to the Father's will and obeyed the Father's word. We mentioned already John 8:29, I do always those things that please the Father. I think, ladies and gentlemen, this is probably where we get convicted most. Are we truly surrendered and willing to obey whatever God asks of us? We say, what if He asks the impossible? Then He will provide the provision to do the impossible. Jesus Christ was surrendered and obedient to the Father. Consider Him in our surrender, in our obedience. Number five, consider Him in His sufferings. 1 Peter 2:21 tells us that Christ suffered for us, leaving an example that we should follow His steps. Loneliness, Jesus suffered it. Rejection, Jesus suffered it. Mental anguish, Jesus suffered it. Betrayal, Jesus suffered it. Emotional anguish, I think Jesus suffered that from the time He recognized His emotions till the time He died on the cross. Emotional anguish. Loss, He wept when Lazarus died. That was His friend. Think about sufferings. And I know some of you today are suffering with some of those very things I've mentioned. And I'm not minimizing those sufferings. I wouldn't do that for anything in the world. But consider Him. Consider Him. Think about it. Think about how He suffered. Think about what He went through. Think about the loss, the anguish, the coldness. had no home. Foxes of the air, the birds of the air have nests, and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Oh, consider how he suffered. Consider him in Gethsemane suffering for you. Consider him at Calvary suffering for you, ladies and gentlemen. He suffered for you and I. He suffered the cat of nine tails. Amen? He suffered. He suffered when they took the hammer and the nails and pounded those nails in his flesh. He suffered. He suffered for 6 hours as he raked his open back up and down that rugged cross. He suffered. He suffered thirst. The one who by his word created every cool brook and every babbling stream said, I thirst. He suffered. Consider him. Consider him in his sacrifice. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, for even Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Can I say about that? It was a complete sacrifice. He's the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, Mr. Calvinist. Not for ours only. The Calvinist believes that Jesus only died for the elect. No, I'm here to tell you, He died for the world. Amen. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Why? Because when Jesus did that, He said anybody can be saved. But not everybody will be saved. He's the propitiation for our sins. His sacrifice was complete. You know something else about His sacrifice? His sacrifice was willing. I lay down my life, John 10:17-18 tells us. No man taketh it from me. See, if you were an observer, you'd say Pilate took it. Pilate took his life. Nope. Caiaphas took his life. Nope. The Jews that stirred up the people, they took his life. No, Jesus said, listen, I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up. Amen. His sacrifice was complete and it was willing. Consider him in our sacrifice. Do we really sacrifice? Do we really sacrifice? Some of you do. Some of you do every week of the world. Every time you put that offering plate on, you smile because the Bible says God loveth the cheerful giver. But inside you're, oh Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out. Some of you sacrifice your time. You sacrifice your talents for Jesus. Thank God for that. But sometimes we get the mully grubs. And we think I'm the only one. So we get that Elijah syndrome. I'm the only one. Listen, when you get like that, consider Him in His sacrifice. And you know what it does to ours? Shrinks it down a little bit. Amen. Lastly, this morning, consider Him in His love. Consider Him in His prayer life. Consider Him in His humility. Consider Him in His surrender. Consider Him in His sufferings. Consider Him in His sacrifice. Consider Him in His perseverance. What's perseverance? Old-fashioned stick-to-itiveness. It's like a barnacle on the side of a ship. He's just not letting go. It's locked in there. Amen. What's it say in verse 3 of our text? For consider Him that what? Endured such contradiction of sinners, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Again, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, it said He spoke to His disciples. He said, stand here while I go and pray a while. And the Bible has a beautiful little phrase. It's been, I'm sure, the title of many a sermon. And it says, Brother Holy, and He went a little further. Amen. And I'm here to tell you that everything Jesus did, He went a little further. He went a little further. He persevered. The contradiction of sinners. Imagine, ladies and gentlemen, imagine being on the cross and having the power to obliterate every one of your enemies. and them standing there like this. Well, you said you were the Son of God. Come down and we'll believe you. Huh? Consider Him. Consider Him when you feel like quitting. By the way, you say, preacher, you ever feel like quitting? Sure do. Lots of times. But if I heard a message at Midwestern Baptist College, I have all my chapel sermons in my office. 4 notebooks full of them. And I don't know how many actually had the title, but almost as many as I could remember, I'd say probably 3/4 of them, just an approximation. At some point, that preacher looked at us preacher boys and said, don't quit, young man. Don't quit. There's a lot of places to throw in the towel, but it's never right to throw in the towel. Why? Folks, see what's going on in Israel. See what's going on in Russia. We're almost home. Almost home. Listen, this would be the equivalent of the marathon runner running 25 and a half miles, seeing the stadium, and just saying, ah, never mind. We can't quit. Consider Him and His perseverance. Listen, I know some of you go through struggles that nobody knows about but you and Jesus. You keep going. Some of you're the only one in your family that comes to church. Don't quit. Don't quit. Can I say, for years and years and years and years and years, I was telling the boys in Sunday school class, I was the first member of my family to get saved, 23 years old. For years I wanted my mom to be in church. Years! I said, oh, I wish. And they'd come hear me preach occasionally. When I was an associate, I'd preach, or I'd be singing, and they'd come. And, oh, but I just had these dreams of them being involved in the church. Being part of the church. What if I'd have quit, Brother Merrill? I was in Bible college. My dad was lost. Brother Herb, what if I'd have said, you know what, forget this Bible college business. I'm done. Think my daddy'd have got saved? Think my mama would be a member of Loomis Park Baptist Church today, serving the Lord? Consider Him in His perseverance. Anybody can quit, ladies and gentlemen. But it takes a real man, it takes a real woman, a real Christian to say, you know what? I'm not quitting. I'm not. Quit on quitting. You want to quit something? Quit on quitting. How about that? Amen? You say, you know what? I'm going to serve Jesus until He comes or until He calls me home. Amen. You want to make good decisions? You want to make better decisions? You want to be a better Christian? You want to be a better husband, better mother, better father? Consider Him. Lest you be wearied. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And faint in your minds. And by the way, long before the body faints, the mind faints. Think of that runner. He's running, running, running. Finally, the mind just says, stop running. And the body follows suit. Consider Him. All these areas. Father, thank You.